This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's obviously a lot of different storylines around the NFL that we need to get to. And we usually chat with Jason on Friday. But there's so many things today that we figured let's get him up a day. And we have Jason Lock and Ford with us now, CBS Sports NFL Insider. What up, Jay? How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, good. Is it, by the way, can you confirm that Demaryius Thomas is the one who brought Mono into the Jets locker room and Belichick smiles?
Yeah. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I hear you, man.
That's an interesting conspiracy theory.
It's where I'm at, week two.
Easy for me to say.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, man, they just keep jetting. Sometimes it's of their own accord, and sometimes it's just, you know, S happens.
Yep.
And right now they got a little bit of all the above going on. It's unbelievable.
That's true. All right. So Antonio Brown, right? Is he going to be like? I know he's not on the exempt list yet. That could happen before Sunday. They're down in Miami, which is where this alleged incidents took place. So if he gets off the plane, that's a different set of circumstances, perhaps for him legally. He's not going to be on the field Sunday, is he?
I don't know. I mean.
Wow.
If the league doesn't change his status, he's practicing with the team. I mean, could they decide to leave him home? I guess they could. Will the league make some sort of action by the waiver deadline on Friday to clarify the whole thing? Either a statement of some sort. It's possible. I don't know how much they could gather in this short of a period of time. Especially in a case like this where it's in the civil realm and outside of the complaint itself and outside of eventually talking to the two parties involved, there isn't much of a paper trail right now. You know, there are no police reports, there's no incident reports. So I don't know, guys. Each of these cases are different. I've had a very difficult time I don't even want to predict what the league does in a lot of them because it's almost impossible to predict. I mean, I don't know too many people who looked at the Tyreek Hill situation, right, and didn't think that there would be something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know whether they'll use the exempt list now, if they use it at all, or if the team would decide to, make him just deactivate him. But would I be stunned if he played? I mean, at this point, no. Like, he's practicing, what I mean?
Like, yeah. He seems like he's a part of the team.
It's not like when the Chiefs sent Tyreek Hill home, and that was in the spring. It wasn't real practices. But still, you know what I mean? Like, the Chiefs basically put him on the exempt list themselves. So the Patriots clearly aren't doing that, and they're saying we're going to take our cues from the league. And all the league is saying is we're investigating at this point in time. I don't know that it would be the Patriots who do anything unless the league clarifies it for them one way or the other.
Yeah, no, it's been one of the biggest stories he has this whole offseason. And just to back up a second, is there any thought that the way that he ended up in New England is, it didn't seem above board.
Yeah,
man, it was like, I don't want to be in Oakland anymore.
Yeah.
I know for a fact they tried to trade for him, and you know this as well. They said no, he finds his way out, and then he signed. I mean, it's weird, right? Is there anything going on regarding how he got to New England?
I mean, and the way these rules work, there are a number of teams who found it peculiar and were like, wait a minute, could this really have all happened that quickly? And what was the timeline? Including some teams who themselves had real interest in Antonio Brown. I don't know that they would have given him, the deal that New England did, but certainly would have liked to talk to him. And some teams were sort of in the mix, but it was over so quickly that, yes, there were questions being asked in various front offices. The only team that could file a true tampering charge would be the Raiders because he was their property. He was under contract to them. Now, at a certain point, they were just trying to unload him on anybody as well. So once you're calling everybody saying the guy's available, it would have to have been some interaction between a team and Antonio Brown prior to him being basically everybody knowing that he's either being traded or cut. There are questions being asked, but at this point, there is no investigation.
Okay, let's bounce around. Jason Lockenfor is with us, and we'll do just that. JLC, CBS Sports, NFL Insider. So, as you've reported a few times on CBSSports.com and on Tops and NFL Today, social media, obviously, you know, if the Dolphins traded Tunsil, there was a belief that there would be a mutiny. Well, they traded Tunsil. They gave up basically 60 points, got utterly destroyed, substandard. They didn't look like an NFL team. Has that mutiny kicked in?
No, I didn't. That was somebody else who's reported that all these guys won out. I actually haven't heard that. I mean, you look at the realities of their roster right now. I mean, there's five guys making $5 million or more. One of them is Fitzpatrick, who, you know, he knew what he was signing up for, right? I mean, he knows there's a chance we're going to do something else at the quarterback position. They obviously traded for Rosen. He knew what he was getting into. It was a rebuilding team. He's going there for a year. You know, Xavier Howard, he just did his deal in May. Like, the direction of the Miami Dolphins was pretty clear in May, right? Like, who thought the Dolphins were going to the Super Bowl in May, right? They're rebuilding. Like, they just loaded up on draft picks through the draft. You know, they just unloaded all their old players. Like, he knew what he was signing up for, but he got $30 million guaranteed almost, and it made sense for him. You've got some recent number one draft picks in there. They're not going anywhere. They just took Christian Wilkins. You know what I mean? Like, he's played one game. You think, like, those guys aren't going to their agent saying, get me out of here. Like, and the rest of the roster is second, third-year guys who, like, dang. I mean, come on, man. It's a bad roster. You know what I mean? Like, who's – you just tell me the Dolphins, like – who have the clout to start a mutiny. Like, it's a bunch of kids. I mean, it's already been gutted. Like, this idea of, oh, yeah, like, all these guys are clamoring for trades. Rashad Jones would be the guy. He makes over $13 million. He's barely played in 2 years. And if anybody wanted to give them anything for him and take the contract, he'd already be gone. But nobody does, at least to this point. So I wouldn't be looking for a whole lot of transactions or a whole lot to come there. I mean, it's going to be an ugly season. They're going to take their lumps. But they, you know, they're hoping to identify a core young players coming out of this and a next wave of guys who a year from now, 2 years from now, they will pay. And by that point, they should be much closer to being competitive.
Let's jump to the Cleveland Browns, Jason. Odell Beckham Jr., we know the whole watch saga that's going on. He's going to wear it anyways. Who cares?
Yeah.
Robert Mealy will pay the fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
He said some interesting quotes today about Greg Williams and how Greg Williams was telling his players with the Cleveland Browns to target him. And now that, you know, he's getting ready to play him again with the Jets, he's worried about it. Is the league going to investigate this, or is this just noise?
Yeah, I don't know about, the league investigating it. I mean, if there was some sort of, you know, formal complaint launched, and I don't even really know how that would work at this point, like this far removed, and both guys in different, you know what I mean, both guys in different organizations. Like, I wouldn't expect anything to come of that, quite frankly. Odell's not a guy who's going to hold back a whole lot, and if he feels passionately about something, he's going to speak on it. Greg Williams, we all know about Bannegate and everything else. If you read everything that was in that report and not just the headlines, you would kind of come away saying, well, wait a minute, I don't really know that these findings that originally came out are actually backed up by any of these hundreds of pages of supporting evidence and documents.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean?
Not
but
more than any other team did.
You know, and obviously Odell feels like he's been targeted by his teams in the past. I mean, I just don't know off the top of my head going back to that game. You know what I mean? Like, remembering if there were a lot of personal fouls,
yeah,
or you know what I mean, if there were a bunch of fines coming out of that game, I'd have to go back and check.
Jay, how disappointed, not that you were rooting for him, but just in terms of maybe seeing an improved product, were you in the Broncos the other night?
I was disappointed in the defense. That is their offense. Mm-hmm. I don't have any expectations for them as an offensive football team. I think they will be a very hard watch pretty much every week. I just do. Mm. Flacco at this stage of his career with limited pieces around him and an offensive line that's been a problem for a long time, I just don't see how that's a recipe that's going to lead to winning football. I was surprised they didn't get after Carr more. I was surprised in the defense. I think they'll show much better at home in Mile High. You look traditionally Mile High in September. They're pretty dominant. Vic Fangio will get after them pretty good. And I expect them to be the defense to be good enough that it keeps them from being a horrible football team. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to be one of the five hardest watches on offense in the league. I just do.
Okay, it's hard to refute that. I wasn't exactly sure who they were going to be this year, but that was not a good start. We're talking to Jason LaConfora. You know, Jay, there are many overreactions to certainly week one of the NFL, but it's easy to spot disorganization when it's just jumping off your screen. And the Lions looked woefully disorganized under Matt Patricia the other day.
Yeah. I mean, to blow that lead with the, you know, the guys on the other side, the coach and the quarterback, you know, their first games in the NFL, and it's at home, and you're beating the brakes off them, and all you got to do is manage a couple timeouts and not beat yourself. And here you go. You end up giving them an opportunity, and they capitalize on it. No, it's not the way you want to start the season at all. And it wasn't a smooth operation.
I guess what I'm
a well-run machine, and there were certainly times last year when it didn't look like a well-run machine.
Yeah. You know, a team that actually did look well-run, you can't claim them because you cover the NFL, but the Baltimore Ravens looked amazing. And Lamar Jackson, I think, surprised a lot of people with the accuracy with which he was throwing the ball. Now, some of this is on the Dolphins. A lot of it is on the Dolphins' defense, which was out of place and doing ridiculous things in coverage. But, I mean, how exciting is it down where you are, where you live, with the Ravens right now? It's hard to put up 59 points in the NFL, and they look like they did it with ease.
And they did it in three quarters. Remember, they finally called Lamar and the, most of the first string out of there after three quarters. I think it's been a very weird dynamic in this city. People were not overwhelmingly quick to embrace him. Even last year when he literally saved the season and turned their fortunes on a dime and completely changed the identity of the team mid-season on a dime when they were 4-5 and spiraling again. I think there's a lot of loud skeptics. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the exact percentage. I mean, I live in the city. How many, you know, are buying in and how many aren't? But the ones who haven't bought in have been a very loud minority or majority, whatever it is. There's still a prevailing sense in this town where people just are non-believers or skeptics or just aren't paying attention at all, pretending it's not going on. But it's going to become a moot point because this kid is really good.
Yeah.
He's not going to have a 158 QB rating every week, but like he is going to be week in, week out, one of the must-see players in this league. He has transformed the identity of the franchise already. He's got complete buy-in from everybody in that building, and he has from the moment they let him take the team over, and he worked his tail off in the off season, and he's going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
I got questions about their pass rush, and that didn't get tested by Miami at all. You know, anybody's going to get sacks on Miami's offensive line and get pressure. But Baltimore's offense is going to be electric most weeks, I believe.
Yeah, good. I hope so, because he's on my fantasy team. In the division.
you're going to be a big Lamar fan.
In the division, Ben Roethlisberger is getting some criticism. Don't know exactly where it's coming from because the sources are anonymous. He's, in his defense, trying to correct the perception about him as a leader. This is less about whether or not he's a good leader or not, but he's 38 years old. And BT and I were talking at the top of our show about how when you get that old and that disconnected from some of these young kids that are, you know, a different mindset, you know, what's the plan for Ben now and I guess in the future with the Steelers? Because when it's over, and that's going to be a hard reset for them.
I mean, look, if you saw any of the comments that came out from ownership or from Kevin Colbert, the GM, through the whole AB saga, it's clear that their entire fortunes in the short term are tied to Ben. With the contract extension, it's this year and it's basically next year, but they believe Mason Rudolph is not just a dude. They think he has a chance to be a winning NFL quarterback. That's why they took him where they took him. That's why they've developed him, how they've developed him. It's why they traded Josh Dobbs, you know, because they feel like Rudolph is a guy who has more upside and could be a starting quarterback in this league. There's a lot of belief in him. So they feel like, you know, hopefully they've got the next guy there right now learning under him. And it's Ben's team this year. If Ben runs into a wall at some point in 2020, you know what I mean, and it's just not there, Mason Rudolph will get an opportunity to be the heir apparent.
All right, Jay, good stuff. That's Jason LaConfora, CBSSports.com, NFL Insider, of course, NFL Today. See you Sunday morning on Tops, buddy. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jason LaConfora.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.